This is the University of Nebraska President's Halftime Show. The University of Nebraska, committed to education, research, and innovation that helps create a better future.
Welcome back to the University of Nebraska President's Halftime Show with Interim President Susan Fritz, where we will catch up each and every week. Susan, welcome back to the show.
Greg, I'm absolutely thrilled to talk about the good work of our faculty members. They're conducting groundbreaking research in important areas like water, food, and healthcare. When you think of transforming lives through research, through innovation, the scientists and researchers at the University of Nebraska are doing exactly that.
What's on your mind this week?
Well, you know, our faculty work day and night to make a difference for Nebraskans. These are the people whose stories don't get told nearly enough. They're making a difference for NU's nearly 52,000 students, making the university an engine for economic growth, and improving the quality of life in every corner of our state.
Susan, can you share some of these faculty stories?
Well, I can do even better than that, Greg. I'll let one of our best and brightest faculty members tell you their story personally. I have Stephen Bainziger with me today, who's a plant sciences professor at UNL and the Nebraska Wheat Growers Presidential Chair. His work in wheat breeding and increasing wheat yield is going to play a major role when it comes to feeding a hungry, growing world. And given that ag is one of Nebraska's biggest industries, Stephen's work will make a huge difference here as well.
Stephen, it's great to have you with us here at Halftime. Tell us a little bit about your background and your work.
I was trained as an undergrad at Harvard and then got my degrees at Purdue. I've worked for the USDA for 8 years, then Monsanto for three, and for the last 33 years, very proud to be a Husker at the University of Nebraska. I breed winter wheat, winter barley, and winter triticale, and I try to keep our growers competitive in an increasingly tough world and increase the crop diversity so they have more choices. And the key thing is we always have to plan ahead, because from the time I make a cross to the time the line is released, it takes at least 7 and more likely 12 years. So we're always planning for the future.
Stephen, we've heard so much that the world's population is going to really surge by the year 2050, and how much more food people are going to need in order to be sustained. How will we need to change what we're doing, and how is your work helping in that?
Well, first of all, the one thing I think people need to know is that everybody talks about the 9 billion people, but with increased prosperity, they're going to eat like 10 to 12 billion people. So the task is even more daunting than what we think. We expect to need 1.4 to 1.7% increase in productivity per annum. Currently, we're at 0.9. So if we keep doing what we're doing now, we don't have a plan to succeed. We have a plan to fail. So we're leaving no stone unturned, trying to make a better future for our growers. And so by doing that, we are looking at new types of wheats, in this case, hybrid wheat. We and the University of Texas A&M are two of the leading universities in this area. We have a great funding from the federal grants to do this research because we think we need more productivity in the future. One third of wheat consumption increase is due to prosperity. Two thirds is due to population growth.
Stephen, given how critical ag is to Nebraska, how do we already grow so much food for the nation? Talk about your work with hybrids and how that will help right here at home.
First of all, it will increase the productivity and hopefully the profitability of our growers, number one. Nobody buys something that they can't make money on. Number two is, in a state like Nebraska with its diverse climates, hybrids are much more climate resilient than our pure lines. So, for example, we had over 200 random hybrids be better than the best commercial line available at North Platte where we had a drought. And you think these are random hybrids, one that we had no idea, no background of whether it would show heterosis or anything, but under stressful climates, 200 out of 600 were better than the best commercial check. Where there was no stress, it was usually 20 lines would be better. So it just gives you an idea. I often think that for risk management alone, we should be growing hybrid wheat. Now, with that, I'd like to maybe mention three things that really make a wheat breeder happy. The first one, I want people to remember when they hear the common prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," that there's a wheat team at the University of Nebraska that works 24/7, 365 to make that prayer come true. The second thing I want to do is I want to thank the University of Nebraska for allowing me to have the flexibility to pursue the dreams that I have that are in accordance with the stakeholders and the growers and the university. But I think faculty don't thank enough their institution. And the last thing is, if you want to know why I get up every morning, it's because when I make a cross, I think of all that the potential it can have. When I see the progeny of that cross out in a field, I'll remember whether the sun was shining, whether it was windy, where it was in the field, because you'll know some crosses will make a variety. And then the third thing is when that variety has grown on millions of acres, and you remember when you held all the seed of that line in the palm of your hand. That's the story of what agriculture is about, the impact it can have. And there's not a single line that I create that isn't touched by an undergraduate or a graduate student at the University of Nebraska.
Stephen, thanks for sharing more on how your work is helping Nebraska farmers and will ultimately help feed the world. Susan, back to you. What's on the slate for next week?
Greg, we're going to talk about how the University of Nebraska's groundbreaking medical research makes it one of the top-tier universities in the country. I'll be joined by Jeff Gold, the chancellor of both UNO and the Med Center. He'll share more on the cutting-edge treatment the Med Center provides to Nebraskans battling cancer and how we keep Nebraska healthy by training more than half of the state's nurses, doctors, and dentists.
Susan, we'll look forward to that at the halftime of the Minnesota game. We'll have more of our halftime from this one coming up next.
This is the University of Nebraska President's Halftime Show. The University of Nebraska, committed to education, research, and innovation that helps create a better future.